Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, joining us now on the hotline, and this is really one of the best guests you can have for our Big Joe Thomas retirement show. And here's why. Because a couple of years ago, we did a show, and we asked if you could have the retired jersey, the number, the jersey of any player that's played for the Browns since 1999. We did this show, Dustin.
I remember.
And the two names that came up most often were Joe Thomas and this guy, our next guest, longtime Browns kicker, still in the league at 43. Maybe I shouldn't say his age. I don't know. It's Phil Dawson is with us. Phil, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you.
Isn't that amazing that the fans, you know, picked you when we did a show about what whose jersey you'd want since 99?
Yeah.
That's how much they loved you, Phil. I mean, you and Joe Thomas were the two names by far brought up.
Well, you know, to be on any list with Joe Thomas is quite an honor. And I can tell you, for the 5 years I've been gone, my love for Cleveland and the fans there has only grown. So, it is, you know, I had heard as a young player there, just talking to guys who had played in Cleveland before, that you get a bond with the city, with the fans. You just feel a part of everything going on there. And I can attest from my own personal experience that that's absolutely true. So I'm humbled by the love from the fans. And, you know, it's just a very special thing for me.
Is that what you miss the most about Cleveland, is just the fans and how much they loved you? I mean, there's lots to go into it. I'm sure you miss your teammates and, you know, the folks that you interacted with the organization and all that stuff. But having those fans that, I mean, they really loved you. And, you know, you continued your career, obviously, but it's I'm sure it's different with those cities and those fans as it was in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I have missed it every day. Never wanted to leave. It just didn't work out, Dan. And, it was quite an adjustment. It was pretty tough, albeit I landed in a pretty good spot. But leaving the fans, leaving just my connection there, leaving the organization, just leaving the home, the only home my kids knew. I mean, everything about it was tough. And you know, it's just a really special place.
We're talking with legendary Browns kicker Phil Dawson, now at the Arizona Cardinals. Phil, let's talk about Joe. Obviously, you know, he announced his retirement. It's funny, we all knew there was a chance it was going to happen. We'd seen Joe around. He'd lost a ton of weight, and, you know, he didn't look like he was going to be able to play offensive line based on his current size. But until he said it, it was still a stunner. It felt like impossible that we'd start a Brown season and not have Joe Thomas. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, obviously, I'm not as in tune with the day-to-day stuff there, but when I got the news, there was a part of me that couldn't believe it. I mean, you look at a guy like Joe and you just think he can play forever. He made it look so easy, and that's what a true pro does, is they make hard things look easy. And from day one, that guy just came in, and you know, you knew his job was going to be handled. So he's done that so effortlessly for the last 11 years. When the news finally came that there wouldn't be a year 12, that was quite a surprise.
You know, when you are part of an organization like the Browns, and you didn't have a whole lot of success here either. I mean, personal success, sure, but team success, it's been so frustrating. I mean, we think about you and think about Joe and, you know, all the years spent here and not, you know, going to the playoffs and not winning much of anything. How do you stay positive and keep the right frame of mind when you're in such a tough spot?
Well, you know, that's why people love Joe. He's like everybody else in the city of Cleveland. He gets up in the morning and he goes to work. Yeah. And whether things are going good or whether things are going bad, you still have a job to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what a true pro is. And unfortunately, you really get singled out these days for being like that. But, you know, the way I was raised, and I know the way Joe approached it, that's kind of what you're supposed to do. Last time I checked, I mean, you get paid to do a job, and you come to work and you do your job. And obviously Joe did it at a higher level than anyone has around him. But, you know, it's a credit to him and his integrity and the kind of professional he is, that even with the tough times, even with the losing, even with the lack of team success, he continued to come each and every day and do his job. And I think that's why the people of Cleveland loved him so much, because they feel a part of that.
Hey, you're 100% right, Phil. We're talking with Phil Dawson. You talk about the people of Cleveland get up and every day they go to work. And Joe is a guy that had a ton of injuries over the years, but he never talked about them. They never kept him out of the lineup. I'm sure a lot of the injuries he dealt with over the years would have kept probably 95% of the players at some point out of the lineup. But it never did for Joe until this really bad injury he had this past season. Over 10,000 consecutive snaps. Can you imagine that for an offensive lineman, what that must be like?
I can't. I mean, but that's why Joe's Joe. I mean, he reminds me of Bruce Matthews. You know, that's another Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Just played his whole career and made it look easy and just didn't get hurt. And, you know, I wish we could bottle that and figure out a reason why, but, you know, I think a little bit of that goes back to Joe's mentality. It didn't matter if he was hurt. He had a job to do, and he was going to go do it. And call it throwback, call it old school, call it whatever you want, but I'll take as many teammates like that as I can get.
You know, he kept it light, too. I mean, Joe's got a personality about him that is something that's infectious. I think people gravitate towards it. He's funny. He does these Joe Thomas Hour shows, which is like, you know, these little segments, these comedy skits he does. And, you know, everyone says how funny he is. I mean, what's he really like behind the scenes?
He's just like that. He's got a quick wit about him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in some ways that's how he's dealt with some of the frustrations and disappointments, is finding humor in it. And, you know, you can always put a smile on your face. I don't care what the situation is. And Joe was a guy that you knew was going to handle his business, but he was fun to be around. He kept things light. When it was time to work, he'd work. When it was time to have fun, he'd have fun. And I think that's why the locker room always responded to him, you know, just so well.
Not to put you on the spot, and we can come back to it. I'm curious if you have a good Joe Thomas story about maybe something funny that happened behind the scenes that you could share.
Oh, there's several of them, but, you know, my favorite memory was draft day. Way back when, you know, that was right when the NFL was starting to make draft day a big spectacle and bringing guys to New York City to walk across the stage and, you know, the whole show, if you will. And here's Joe Thomas, doesn't go to New York, turns down the opportunity to big time it and get all the attention. And, you know, he gets his family and friends and just goes fishing. And I love that. I mean, the guy knows who he is. He never changed the way he was brought up. He never changed his passions and his loyalties to family and friends. And even though he could have done something that maybe would have helped his career, you know, maybe get a little more publicity or attention, he turned all that down to go do what he loved. And, you know, I just watched the guy through the years. He never changed. It didn't matter how many Pro Bowls in a row he made. It didn't matter how much people started talking about Canton, Ohio one day. He never changed. And I got a lot of respect for a guy who knows who he is and never changes.
The great Phil Dawson is with us. Phil, have you ever went fishing or hunting with Joe Thomas?
No, but I will tell you, Joe taught me how to shoot a crossbow.
Ooh, okay.
And literally, I got a chance to go hunting in Cleveland one day, and I had never shot a crossbow, and Joe invited me over and literally let me shoot it about five times in his backyard.
Okay. How'd you do? And, how'd you do, Phil?
You know, now I'm an expert. So now, next thing I know, I'm sitting in a tree stand. I killed the biggest deer of my life that night. So
wow.
I owe Joe Thomas the biggest deer I've ever killed. And this is just typical Joe. You know, come on over. We'll shoot it around in my backyard, and you'll be good to go.
That's awesome.
We're talking with longtime Browns kicker, longtime NFL kicker, Phil. Phil, are you getting annoyed that Adam Vinatieri won't retire to make you the oldest player in the NFL?
Man, I keep trying to catch up with him. I just can't seem to gain a day or two on him. So, you know, hey, it's fun to watch Adam do what he's doing. He's still doing it at a high level. And you know, I'm his biggest fan. It started for me in 98 where I was on practice squad watching him every day in New England. and I've continued to watch him, and my respect for him has only grown through the years, and he'll be another guy, you know, we'll all watch in Canton someday.
You know, it seems like with kicker, more, I never played the position, so you would certainly know better than me. This is just an outside opinion. It seems like that position is almost more mental than any other position in the game, because you have some of these young kickers come into this game, the Aguayo kid who got drafted in the second round, and it seems like if they get in a bad rut, some of these young guys, they just cannot get over it. And because there's so few jobs, I mean, is it – because it seems like this guy – that all the guys that come into the league have the talent, or maybe not that everybody's equal talent, but have enough talent to at least be in the league. But it seems like the mental hurdles for a kicker are the toughest thing. Is that true, or am I talking out my butt? What do you think?
It's partly true. I'm not going to completely disagree with you. There's obviously a big part of the mental side that goes into kicking, but I would suggest that's every position. There's pressures and there's situations you got to be able to handle from an emotional standpoint. You know, a lot of these guys I see struggling, I would suggest it's physical, but okay. I think the reason so much of the discussion when it comes to kickers is about the mental game is because there's really nobody out there that knows what to tell you about the physical aspects of it. You know, there's mm-hmm. quarterback gurus, or there's wide receiver, you know, coaches, or there's analysts that talk about hip level for DBs and how quickly they can get out of breaks, but there's no one that can tell you the first thing you need from a physical standpoint for kicking. So it's just easier when a kicker hits a rough patch, it's just easier to say, oh, he must be a head job.
Sure.
Because no one can say, oh, his plant foot's wrong, or oh, his shoulder plane is off, or, you know, there's just no one out there that can do that. So, you know, that's a stereotype I've had to kind of live with my whole career and battle through that. And whenever I hit a little rough stretch, people automatically go to, well, what's going on in your head? And I want to say, my head's fine. I'm just not executing from a physical standpoint. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
I don't remember you ever having a rough stretch there, Phil.
Well, that's the beauty of being no longer somewhere. Is people only remember the good stuff. So I'm enjoying that aspect of this for sure.
What do you say to the young kid? Like, I'm guessing a lot of the young kickers in the league maybe try to pick your brain a little bit. What do you say to guys that are maybe looking for advice?
You know, it's interesting. Everybody's a little different. Everybody approaches it a little different. You know, I've always approached it pretty blue collar, and I just work my brains out. So my answer is just get as many good reps in your muscle memory as possible so that, you know, on the days where your head is a mess, you can just put it on autopilot and your body will do what it's been trained to do. Now, that's, I would say, as kickers go, that's a pretty unique perspective or approach, because most guys don't kick a lot.
Right.
They save their legs for game day, and then they go see mental coaches and try to find nirvana so they can show up on game day and be at total peace. Well, I've never been at total peace. So I'd rather just grind my body to do what it's supposed to do so that, you know, if I wake up on a Sunday morning and my mind's clear and focused, that's great. If I wake up on a Sunday morning, my mind's distracted and I'm rattled, that's fine too, because either way, I know my body's going to do what it's been trained to do.
Hey, Phil, I played in the league for a short period of time. I was on the Buffalo team when we played the Blizzard game in 07 against
man.
You.
Yeah, I remember that day.
And dude, you hit a 49-yard field goal in a Blizzard. That's got to be up there as one of your most memorable kicks.
It was a pretty great experience. You know, I've told people before, you know, there was no pressure on that kick. So it was just kind of like, go out and let it rip, see what happens. I mean, it was such a ridiculous day, you remember.
Yeah.
It was like, well, let's haul off and whack this thing, and it actually went through. And, you know, if you remember, it skimmed off that center bar, which had happened earlier in the year at Baltimore. So, you know, that's definitely one of my favorite memories, and what a great day for Browns fans. I mean, I had heard the stories of the old Lakefront Stadium and all the crummy weather and how the fans would just come out and support the team. Well, there it was. I mean, we're playing in a blizzard. It was terrible weather, and I'll never forget how loud the fans were that day. So that is just that's one of my most cherished memories.
The best question, though, is, Dustin, did you try to tackle Phil in that game?
I may have had to, because he was the only points. We had a safety, and Phil had two field goals. I mean, he was the offense for the Browns.
That was it.
Yeah, it was a baseball score.
Yeah. It was 8-0. Yeah.
Hey, Phil, before we let you go, and we really appreciate the time, you know, obviously we're talking with a couple of different former teammates of Joe today. And we're wondering, you know, if Joe's listening, or if he gets this, hear this interview later, is there a message you'd like to send to your old friend and teammate?
You know, Joe, all I can say is it was an absolute privilege to play with you. From day one, you established yourself as a pro. You're the best I've ever seen play, but you're also one of the best teammates I've ever had. I appreciate the way you came to work each and every day. I appreciate the way you loved your wife. I appreciate the way you're committed to your family. I appreciate the way you represented the city of Cleveland. So when my playing days are over and I get a chance to reminisce and reflect, your name will be one I tell my kids was an absolute honor and privilege to play with.
That's awesome. Well, I got a little choked up right now. That was really awesome. That was really cool. that's great. Phil, man, we appreciate it. You were so great here. We love covering you. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Appreciate it, guys, and go Brownies.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.